taking you to faraway places and bringing them home to you. Cha-cha-cha. It's the Tiki Cha-Cha Club, KBOO's all-vinyl guilty pleasure. Monday nights, midnight to 1 a.m. on 90.7 FM stereo and around the world at KBOO.FM.
And it is now 10 o'clock. Listen to KBOO, Portland, 90.7. Next, you have Locust Focus. After that, you have Health Watch.
Good morning and welcome to Locus Focus. I'm Barbara Bernstein, your host for this weekly conversation about our place on the planet. We've been watching Donald Trump announce the most astonishing rogues gallery of cabinet nominees ever assembled. Not only are his picks bent on demolishing the very agencies they would head, they are for the most part totally incompetent. The only possible upside to this spectacle is the clarity that we're all under attack now and must stand together in resistance to this nihilistic agenda. Judging by the flood of emails being sent out from every progressive corner of the country, a lot of people are watching and organizing to oppose the coming Trump agenda. This morning, we find out what their plans are. My guest is Ben Schreiber, Climate and Energy Program Director for Friends of the Earth, and we'll talk about what we can expect with the EPA, Department of Energy, and State Department, headed by the likes of Scott Pruitt, Rick Perry, and Rex Tillerson. Ben, welcome to Locus Focus.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, I think since the last time we've been communicating, there's been more surprises being popped up in this cabinet of horrors of Donald Trump. So we might add to the three that I mentioned. I'm thinking particularly that his pick for the Secretary of Interior. Maybe we should start a little bit with that, because that guy is the first one who has a certain kind of ambiguity about him, which is very different from the three people that I just mentioned. And what does that show to you as far as the unpredictability of Donald Trump?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about Representative Zinke, who's from Montana, and is the choice for the head of the Department of the Interior, is that he's a pretty under the radar, not well known commodity, at least in Washington D.C. And it really shows how little vetting the Donald Trump administration is having on candidates. And I think how unprepared they really were to take over the White House. And you're already seeing scandals arising around Zinke, because he had used when he was in the military, he had actually been disciplined for unauthorized travel to and from Montana for personal use. And so, you know, you already have a scandal brewing around his nomination, and that's something that you would think that vetting would discover.
Well, it seems like just about with almost every candidate that he's picked so far, that there's some kind of scandal brewing. I thought that is very interesting, because it's so blatant and so petty in a way. But on the other hand, there's Rex Tillerson, who's probably one of the highest profile people that he's picked. And there, I mean, there's some potential scandals as well.
For sure. I mean, Rex Tillerson is, in some ways, I think, the embodiment of the Donald Trump foreign policy agenda, which is a neo-colonial resource grab. Donald Trump, during the election, said repeatedly, we should have taken the oil in Iraq. We should have taken the oil in Iraq. That was his criticism of the Iraq war, basically, is that we didn't, go in there to enrich ourselves. You have ExxonMobil, who runs itself very much like a sovereign nation, but is not not at all considering things like human rights. They're not concerned with them. They just go in there to make profits, and so they're totally happy to prop up dictators like in Chad and other places, as long as they can make returns off their oil and gas investment. And so, what you're talking about right now is potentially, the foreign policy of the United States being used to further the agenda of ExxonMobil and other big polluters.
I think actually before we continue, we should just kind of make mention for those people who have been so horrified by what's happening that they haven't tuned into the news for the last month, we should mention who Rex Tillerson is.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Sorry about that. Yeah, Rex Tillerson is the CEO of ExxonMobil, or was the CEO of ExxonMobil until, you know, he was nominated for Secretary of State. He's worked at ExxonMobil for 40 years, basically his entire career. He's been in charge of ExxonMobil for over a decade, including a lot of time while Exxon was funding climate deniers and trying to obfuscate the realities of climate change in order to boost their profits.
Now, I was just reading an article, I think it was in the New Yorker, was the issue right after the election. And there was some talk about Rex Tillerson's conflicts and that he has sort of been walking this fine line between climate denial and climate acknowledgement, which perhaps expresses the fine line that Exxon was walking while they were on the one hand doing some really outstanding research on climate science and discovering the real dangers of climate change, and at the same time funding all these efforts to refute that there's any such thing as human-made climate change.
There's no question that climate change, you know, cuts right to the core of ExxonMobil's business model. And they're not interested in changing what that business model is. And so they are really dedicated to getting as much oil out of the ground as possible for as long as possible. That said, they do recognize that probably there will be a end to the fossil fuel era, or at least the climate change is a problem. And I think the quote that's most telling about Rex Tillerson is he said that climate change is nothing more than an engineering problem. And so Rex Tillerson is not committed to remaking the economy, remaking our energy system, really putting us on the trajectory to a renewable energy economy. He's committed to extracting as much oil and gas as possible for as long as possible, and dealing with climate change in other ways. And I think that's actually very telling about kind of the Trump administration, too. They kind of vaguely acknowledge that climate change is there and that we're going to have to do something, but that something is not going to be stopping ExxonMobil's business for them.
Well, actually, I want to explore that, go dig a little bit deeper in that statement you just made about that Rex Tillerson saw climate change as an engineering problem. What does that say and what does that mean? I immediately think of these far-flung fantasies of geoengineering, or we'll engineer our way out of anything. Is that how you see it, or is it even more sinister than that?
That's how I see it, as geoengineering and, you know, carbon capture and sequestration and technologies that, you know, we can't even identify right now. It's kind of the, oh, humans are ingenious, and yes, this is a problem now, but we'll come up with solutions, so let's not change our behavior until we really have to.
Well, one of the other things that's been troubling for a lot of people about Tillerson is his relationship with Russia, and particularly with Putin, and how his business practices relating to Russia and the United States vis-a-vis some of his oil interests have disturbed a number of people in the State Department.
Yes. So Rex Tillerson has been a giant proponent of lifting the sanctions on Russia, and in particular because Exxon has an agreement to drill in the Arctic with a Russian company, and the sanctions are actually prohibiting them from making that investment. So Rex Tillerson sees billions of dollars to be made in Russia, and the existing sanctions as the impediment to that. And so he's not concerned with, you know, Russian human rights abuses in Aleppo or Russian annexation of Crimea. You know, he wants us to have, or Russian meddling in our election for that matter. He thinks that we should have a relationship with Russia that's free of sanctions, so that he can extract oil. And I think that's really telling about the resource national interest view of the Trump world. It's not about human rights. It's not about whether or not Russia is good actors and how they're interfering with the rest of the world. It's rather whether or not there's deals to be made and profits to be made and natural resources that are strategic for our businesses.
Well, I also understand that Tillerson did some actions that were actually counter to U.S. foreign policy, for which he was very strongly criticized for.
Yes, that's true as well, around Iran. They, you know, Exxon is a major player in global oil markets and global investments, and so they've been taking steps that have circumvented U.S. sanctions in places like Iran. You know, the other thing that came out maybe 2 weeks ago is that ExxonMobil has set up a company in the tax haven of the Bahamas in order to basically hide profits from U.S. taxation from their Russian drilling. And so, you know, there's been a lot of talk about offshoring jobs and offshoring revenue. Well, Rex Tillerson, Exxon, and Donald Trump, too, probably, are some of the biggest users of offshore tax havens to avoid paying their fair share of the U.S. government.
Well, there seems to be so many questions about Rex Tillerson's, well, his suitability, but particularly his incredible conflicts of interest that he already has, and even worse potential ones, were he to be actually become the Secretary of State. Are there any kinds of legal recourses to prevent his nomination from turning into an actual confirmation?
So it's going to take 51 votes in the Senate for Rex Tillerson to be confirmed. And there's definitely been several very vocal members of the Senate who have opposed or raised concerns about Rex Tillerson's nomination. And I guess the most important thing to start with is that there are 52 Republicans, likely 52 Republicans in the Senate, 48 Democrats in the Senate. And so it will take every Democratic senator plus three Republicans voting against any nominee for them not to be confirmed. John McCain is pretty strongly on the record as being opposed to Rex Tillerson because of the Russia ties. The same thing, Rubio has been, Marco Rubio has been very a very vocal critic of at least Russia, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. So there are potentially Republican senators who would vote against his nomination.
Actually, I've been curious about Susan Collins. I'm wondering if you're tracking her, because she's somebody, when I was trying to think of what are our hopes in terms of finding some allies with Republicans for the next few years, and I thought, well, she's one of the last moderate Republicans left in the Senate, maybe the only one as far as I could remember. And yet she hasn't been coming up very strongly either about the Select Senate committee to investigate the Russian meddling in our elections, or about Rex Tillerson. I wonder if you heard anything else about where she's standing on this.
I haven't really seen many statements from Susan Collins, any statements from Susan Collins about Tillerson. I think Jeff Flake is another one that is potentially going to be opposed to a Rex Tillerson nomination. I think a lot's going to be dependent on how Rex Tillerson handles himself in the proceedings. It's really important to note that a lot of the Republican elite who have been speaking up on Rex Tillerson's behalf actually have ExxonMobil as clients. And so there's been a lot of talk about, Robert Gates and Condoleezza Rice promoting Rex Tillerson's nomination. You know, what was really hidden, and only the Washington Post I've seen report of this, is that they were actually actively clients of Rex Tillerson and Exxon, and they pushed Rex Tillerson's nomination with the Trump administration.
Actually, I was just thinking about Condoleezza Rice, who had a Chevron oil tanker named after her. I mean, she's obviously goes way back and way deep with the oil industry.
Yeah, she and that was a scandal. She sort of very quietly told them, "Hey, stop, change the name of that oil tanker. I want to be Secretary of State, and this is going to be a scandal for me." And then she started a consulting business, and Robert Gates is a member of that business as well. And when they got called up for their input on the Secretary of State, it's been reported that they pushed their client Rex Tillerson to be the nominee.
So I have concerns. I mean, it seems like at some other point in history, Rex Tillerson would be a non-starter, as far as so would Condoleezza Rice, for that matter. That this would all be really publicized as gross conflicts of interest. But what makes things different now, and how do we get to back to that point, like during the Watergate days, when investigative journalism actually turned up things that could bring down a presidency?
I think there are two really giant barriers to the conflict of interest story getting out in the way that it needs to be. The first is that Donald Trump has massive conflicts of interest, and everyone sort of knows it, and he won the election anyway. And so there's a feeling that maybe the rules of the game have changed, that because Donald Trump was able to win the presidency, and because, you know, he doesn't seem like he's going to divest in his business, and he refused to release his tax returns, and there was no political fallout and no political ramifications from that, that maybe no one else has to either. So I think that's first, is that the American public needs to demand accountability, and they need to demand clarity, and I think they're going to. But I think that's first. The second is that right now the Republicans control both the House and the Senate, and they seem very low.